Dear Father in heaven, we come to you as broken vessels. Dad, you have redeemed and has used us for your purpose. And we are here, healthcare providers, trying to find wisdom and how to move forward. Father, use us for the purpose you created us. And give us ears to listen and eyes to see the way. I pray in your name. Amen. Tools to facilitate lifestyle change. And I'm going to share with you my failures and how I been trying to find a way to put this gospel with a medical practice. I don't have it all together yet, but I know that God is calling us healthcare providers for a mission. I'm going to share the objectives of this talk, which Cindy was making sure I have them all clear for CME purposes. So describe the benefits of helping patients implement lifestyle changes. How to treat lifestyle-related diseases with an evidence-based approach. Identify methods that have been used successfully in other practices. And discuss ways to implement these methods in your own practice. So those are the objectives that this lecture has. And I really hope that you can, through this hour of talk, understand the potential that you all have to bring Christ to those in need. So the CDC, Center of Disease Control, says that 75% of the healthcare costs are related with lifestyle diseases. 70% of Americans are overweight or obese. Nearly one half of the American population will be obese by 2030. And according to a 2012 study published in the American Journal of Preventive Medicine, had a growth on this epidemic to affect also children. And childhood obesity has tripled in the last 30 years, and one out of three American children is overweight or obese today. Many experts project type 2 diabetes as the future global epidemic, with diagnosis projections as high as one in three individuals from industrialized nations that have adopted this standard American diet. The war on cancer was waged by President Nixon began over 40 years ago, yet trends indicate that cancer is expected to become the leading cause of death in the U.S. by 2030. 70 million Americans have hypertension with elevated risk for stroke and heart attack. It's probably known for all many of you, but these are things that put things in perspective, and we need to understand what are we dealing with in order to understand what is God calling us to do. The U.S. spends substantially more on healthcare than any other developed country. As of 2009, health spending in the U.S. was about 90% higher than in many other industrialized countries, and yet the U.S. ranks near the bottom in health outcomes. 90%, this is the most striking thing, of the U.S. senior population consumes prescription drugs, with costs doubling in the last 30 years. And the complications associated with those prescription drugs are the fourth cause of death, with 45 to 50 million of adverse events annually. We are experiencing prolonged morbidity, with a life expectancy now surpassing 78 years, but with more degenerative diseases. And this is an alarming combination for the U.S. healthcare cost. Heart disease, what I deal every day, is the leading cause of death for men and women. Every 34 seconds, someone in America has a heart attack. And according to the American Heart Association, one in three adults has some form of cardiovascular disease. The cost of this epidemic is $109 billion annually. In Washington state, that heart disease is the number two killer of people, taking the lives of 28 people every day. And the number one cause is actually cancer. While heart disease may be considered by many to be a men's disease, one in three women die of heart disease each year, the equivalent of one death every minute. By for comparison, one in 31 women die of breast cancer. But if you go to the streets today and ask a lady, what are you worried about? And what are you screening for? What's the answer? Exactly. And so the solution for the modern medicine to all this epidemic is what? Drugs. So that is what we would train, correct? To prescribe drugs for high cholesterol, for headaches, for fevers, for pains, for fibromyalgia, for diabetes. And we're piling drugs over drugs into our patients, trying to help with the side effects that the previous medication is causing. And so in my profession, in my specialty, you know, we've been doing wonderful things for people with acute heart attacks. You know, when you have that acute heart attack, when you have that thrombus that is forming and clogging that artery, you go to the cath lab and they go there and they just get that clot and lyse it and put a stent. But that is not what's happening in the last 20 years. What's happening is many chronic blockages, stable blockages are being opened only to fixed symptoms. And so it has been clearly demonstrated that surgery, open heart surgery, and stents do not cure atherosclerosis. Every time that someone gets a stent, when it's a chronic lesion, we're smashing the fat and the plaque into the wall. Patients are thinking that they're getting those clogged arteries out, and we're sucking and vacuuming the fat. We're not. We're smashing the walls with this terrible inflammatory process. And when we bypass those blockages, we're bypassing the problem, literally. And so when someone comes to my office after bypass surgery, and they're still smoking, and it's like nothing happened, and they feel that everything has been fixed, what do I have to tell them? I have to remind them that in 12 to 18 months, 43% of those grafts that are extracted from their legs are going to get clogged. 43% of those bypasses from the legs are going to get clogged. So what has changed? Why are we in this epidemic? And if we look, according to the food review USDA, the trends on food from 1900s to 2010, sugar consumption has increased exponentially. Oils, cheese, meats, fruits and vegetables, 131 pounds per year in the 1900s to an 11 pound per year now. And the nutrient density, because we're not having this kind of foods, has decreased to 60%. Soft drinks, 53 gallons, TV, computers, and video games. So the Western dietary calories, by comparison, 63% are spent in processed foods, 12% in vegetables, and 25% in animal products. What has changed? Fast foods. We forgot to cook. We're always in a hurry. we drive vans with our kids through McDonald's or through any fast food restaurant to take them from one game to the other, to one practice to the next. And everything, the sugar consumption in our schools and the rewards we give to our kids since they are little with sugar has been grown exponentially too. And if we take just two markers, heart disease and cancer, and we look at all the countries, the more industrialized countries, Hungary, US, Belgium, Sweden, Finland, the amount and the percentage of heart disease and cancer is huge when the percentage of unrefined plant foods is small. But you go to Laos and Thailand and Korea, places where plant-based foods are predominant, you see that the rate of heart disease and cancer plummet. So, what is the evidence-based treatment approach for this epidemic? And of course, Genesis 1:21 is the first one. As believers in the Bible, an inspiration. And God says, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruits yield seed, to you it shall be for food. And then the spirit of prophecy that she says in Ministry of Healing, grains, fruits, nuts, and vegetables prepared in a simple and natural and manner as possible are the most healthful and nourishing foods. And then we have the Adventist Health Studies. Probably many of you have been part of it. 25-year study with 34,000 participants that showed that on average, Adventist men live 7.3 years longer and Adventist women live 4.4 years longer than other Californians. And there are five simple health behaviors promoted by the Seventh-day Adventist Church for more than 100 years. Non-smoking, eating a plant-based diet, eating nuts several times per week, regular exercise, and maintaining a normal body weight increases the lifespan up to 10 years. So that's an observational, of course, study. Death rates from all cancer was 60% lower for Adventist men and 76% lower for Adventist women. And the lung cancer and colorectal cancer and breast cancer and coronary artery disease, much lower than those that have the standard American diet. Then we move to Dean Ornish studies. He said 91% regression, he demonstrated 91% regression of angina in 1 year on those patients that were sick. And I'm also a nuclear cardiologist, and this is an image of a heart with a radio tracer. And here you see there's lack of blood flow right there with the evidence of ischemia. And after 1 year, the same lesion, you see them filling out, demonstrated that that blockage has improved, resolved, and regressed. So Dean Ornish has been a pioneer in the world of prevention and reversing heart disease. There has been reviews of 206 epidemiological studies showing that raw vegetables has the most consistent and powerful association with the reduction of cancer of all types, including stomach, pancreas, colon, and breast. Dr. Ornish did a prostate cancer lifestyle intervention, and he was able to demonstrate 70% of prostate cancers were halted in their growth. So 70% of those men were able to avoid the terrible side effect of castration with hormones and the side effect of losing control of the urine and the terrible side effect of treating prostate cancer as we've been treating it for so long. So the other thing he demonstrated during this study was the increased telomerate length, and that means that with the way that he put this patient, the diet that he gave them, he was slowing the aging process. Dr. Barnard is another scientist and physician that worked with diabetics, and actually he got an NIH grant. It was a small group of patients, but he demonstrated how clearly plant-based nutrition versus the American Dietetic Association recommendation diet really make a humongous impact in the hemoglobin A1C, LDL, weight, and how medications really drop 43% compared to the usually ADA diet. More research is the Nurse Health Study. 91,000 women were followed for 8 years, and consumption of processed meat 5 or more times per week was associated with increased risk of diabetes, nitrate exposure, inflammation, and heme iron stores. And one of the latest that was published in the New England Journal of Medicine, November 2016 study looking at lifestyle changes, exercising, eating a diet full of fruits, vegetables, and grains, non-smoking, can lower your risk of heart disease even if you are genetically predisposed to the disease. And this study is very important because it empowers our patients to understand that they are not to be the victims of their genes. The fact that their parents or grandparents had diabetes or heart disease or hypertension or high cholesterol is not going to be their destiny. And this is now being proved by these studies. The investigators found that genes can double the risk of heart disease, but a good lifestyle cuts it in half. Just as important, they found a terrible lifestyle erases about half of the benefits of good genetics. So the individual results of each study were very impressive. In the first study, when participants with the highest genetic risk follow a healthy lifestyle, they cut the 10-year likelihood of heart disease to 5.1% from 10.7%. In the second study, the high-risk and healthy lifestyle participants cut the risk from 4.6 to 2%. And the third study, so there are three different cohorts, three different populations. In all of them, women, children, different cultures, all of them demonstrated the reduction of their heart disease when they adopt a plant-based diet. So DNA, they concluded, is not your destiny. It is not deterministic from this disease. And this was done by the Massachusetts General Hospital. Now, what are the methods that have been used successfully to reduce and reverse chronic disease? So we reviewed the research, okay? So now let's put this in practice. What has been done? And if you recall, CNN did a story about these two physicians, Dr. Dean Ornish and Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn, and how Mr. Clinton went to them for help because he wanted to be there for Chelsea's wedding. He said he wanted to be there for his grandchildren, and was his desire to stop this. After bypass surgery, he had 2 more stents into those bypasses. So he was desperate to find a way to keep himself alive, to be with his family. So that's how the media started to buzz this plant-based nutrition. And Dean Ornish has published many papers about lifestyle changes reversing coronary artery disease. And after 30 years of bombarding Medicare with this research, finally his program has been approved by Medicare. So hospitals that have the Ornish reversal program, when people come to cardiac rehab after a coronary event, if your hospital has this, can have 72 weeks of plant-based nutrition, stress release, and support. And of course, he practices yoga as part of his program. Forks over knives. Dr. Kyle Esselstyn has promoted with Dr. Colleen Campbell, and the China Study is a wonderful book to read for some of the physicians that are still struggling to understand the power of nutrition. But the China Study was a wonderful study done in rural China, looking at patients and their eating habits and changing them to a different environment and causing disease. It was a study was done over years and created this movie called the Forks Over Knives movie. This is one of the things I give to my patients to watch. And they have created a great support, online support, and they go all over the country trying to help people to understand the power of nutrition. Dr. Joel Furman is another physician based in New Jersey who has been appeared in Dr. Oz many times. He's part of the medical advisory board and has really transformed lives with what he calls the nutritarian diet, mainly a plant-based nutrition diet. And his website is full of testimonials, and this is one of them, Ronnie. Ronnie had bypass surgery at age 40, had another bypass surgery at age 50, and he was extremely depressed and ready to let go. He had children, he had a family, but he had no hope. And when he found Dr. Furman and followed the program, he had to change his driver's license because no one was able to recognize him anymore. But powerful stories like this continue to inspire patients that their change is possible. Dr. Neil Barner has been an expert in diabetes and the brain too, and he says, we send our children to the best schools we can afford and try to equip them with moral values that will last a lifetime, but we give them food habits that when they grow up will cut short 2 lives out of every 3. So in my practice, I use the nutrition kits to inspire parents to help the kids to cook healthy meals for the children. And also I challenge my patients to start this 21-day vegan kickstart. Every first of every month, there is a 21-day vegan kickstart that is free that your patients can join, and they walk them through every day with recipes, grocery shopping of breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And for 20 days, they are detox. I usually challenge my patients to get detox with this 21-day vegan kickstart program. And my mentor and dear friend, Dr. Stoll, he is the co-founder of the Plantrition Project, and that's it's a resource that every physician in this room I want you to explore because has transformed my practice. Dr. Stoll says it's going to take doctors becoming informed, raising up, banding together, and in the spirit of Hippocratic Oath, demanding change of the current system. Physicians are trained to treat symptoms of diseases rather than addressing the underlying imbalances that perpetuate illness. As physicians begin to change, the system will begin to change, ushering in real healthcare reform and a sustainable system. This will require a grassroots effort on the part of the physician. And his first book is called Alive. It's a spiritual journey for change, and the second is called The Change. Milan Rose, he was an employee of Whole Foods, and Whole Foods has partnered with Dr. Stoll and sent all his employees to 1 week retreat the doctor still puts together. And Milan Rose lost 225 pounds. And he is now a living proof that plant-based nutrition can transform your health. So how do you how do you learn plant-based nutrition? How can you get informed? We're so busy. We cannot be studying hours and hours. And in every single profession in healthcare, dietitians, physical therapists, anyone that is in here can greatly benefit from this conference. It's called the International Plant-Based Nutrition Conference. Unfortunately, I cannot project what I'm seeing right here. I don't know why, but if you Google Plant-Based Nutrition Healthcare Conference, it's going to be September 24 to 27 in Anaheim. And you will be able to get exposed to all the pioneers on plant-based nutrition and be able to get all the resources you can to bring your patients, to be into your practice and help your patients. So, I'm going to go back to the presentation right here. Now, this is a great, also, probably, is anyone here familiar with Lifestyle Matters? Okay, a few of you. But this, Vicki Griffin and Evelyn Kissinger put together this wonderful resource for churches that really helps to bring the community and the churches together to help our patients to find better health. So that's another resource. And of course, the CHIP program. And the CHIP program now has been revamped, was bought by the Australia Conference, and it's really bringing tremendous amount of research and science and proof that this type of changes in lifestyle can really make a difference. And we're hoping that Medicare will soon be approving patients that are in the, will pay for patients that are in the CHIP program the same way they are paying for Ornish. So they are gathering all this information and data to send it to Medicare. But the Comprehensive Health Improvement Program has really been making a big difference in normalizing blood pressure, lower cholesterol, lower fasting blood glucose, and lower BMI. But I wanted to tell you now what is very personal to me and what happened with this traditional physician and cardiologist and how God brought me to being a preventive cardiologist today. And it happened with my son, Ethan, who since he was 9 months old was very, very sick with asthma. He was on Singular, he was on Flovent, he was on steroids on and off, and albuterol. And since he was 9, he was always coughing and having a runny nose. And I grew up as a Seventh-day Adventist, being vegetarian on and off. I love my tomatoes and my salads. No one in medical school or cardiology mentioned ever anything about diet, not about nutrition. After we finish our cath rounds or our CCU rounds, we will all eat donuts and pizza in the lounge. No one really ever say a word about the power of nutrition to heal. So when I saw my son doing what he was doing, I just keep piling medications. We went from to one pulmonologist to the next until he was 4 years old. And one of the mothers in preschool came to me and said, "Annabelle, you know, your son is always missing school. He's always sick. He said, will you consider reading this book?" And she was a little hesitant. You know, I'm a doctor. She's just trying to make sure I don't hit her back. You know, here is the book. Read it and run away. And when I start reading Joel Furstman's book, Super Immunity, I start remembering when I read when I was 15 years old in Ministry of Healing. And I started realizing, is it possible? It is possible that it cannot be. You know, the pulmonologist would have said something about dairy, right? If dairy was the cause of his asthma, he never mentioned anything about this. And my son hated vegetables, and I was very happy to give him tomato and avocado every day. That's all he wanted, and that's all he liked. So I never pushed it. My daughter and other, you know, my daughter ate everything, broccoli and cauliflower, but my son never liked that, any of that. And I thought that he never ate any meat. And so, you know, the beans and the rice and the tomato and avocado will just take care of it. And when I read the book and I finished the book and I said, I have to try this. I have nothing to lose. It was 3 weeks that I took him off dairy. And that child has not coughed or had a runny nose. And I said, no, it cannot be. Let's go for another 2 weeks. And then it came 3 months, and he hasn't been in the ER. No prednisone. 6 months, and I became bald. I told the pulmonologist, I'm going to take him off singular. And when I told him that I was going to take him off Flovan, he said, if you're going to doctor him, don't come back to me. And it was our first Christmas. Every Christmas we were in the hospital. Every Christmas. And that little boy, of course, had to have the cookies and had to have the pizza because it was Christmas and the school was celebrating Christmas. What happened? 2 weeks later, two weeks after Christmas time, we were at the hospital. So it took 6 to 8 months to push that broccoli in that boy. He just couldn't get it. And I wish I would have known this earlier, because our children need to be learning this since they are one, whenever they can have a bite, because it's been a struggle and still is. But I can see it over and over again. And I realized when I went to the first plant-based nutrition conference and listened to all the speakers, that I didn't want to be mopping the floor. I didn't want to be this doctor mopping floors. I actually wanted to close the faucet and stop that cycle. So through Dr. Stoll, Dr. Esselstein, Dr. Furman, I said, what I did with my son, I applied to my patients. What will happen? And you know what? My patients started to had to stop blood pressure medicines. I had to stop diabetic medications. They didn't have angina. And so it was wonderful. And then my pastor, Tom, said, Annabelle, would you like to be the director of the health ministry in our church? He said, I bought some wonderful things that I want you to use. And then he read this to me. Medical missionary work is the right hand of the gospel. It is necessary to the advancement of the cause of God. As through it, men and women are led to see the importance of right habits of living, the saving power of the truth will be made known. Every city is to be entered by workers trained to do medical missionary work. As the right hand of the third angel's message, God's methods of treating disease will open doors for the entrance of present truth. So I said, okay, I'll do that. And you know what he said? He said, I want to get rid of my diabetes. I'm a hypertension. I'm doing it for selfish motives, but I want you to help me. And so we created Abundant Living.
It's been so amazing to see people getting better in their cholesterol, diabetes, their overall health. That these classes have been, I think, a blessing to me, but especially to me.
So beneficial, so educational, so practical in terms of how you can engage in it, but more than anything, it's really the impact of the research and the science behind.
And that was one of the greatest things that we've done.
The program, I work with Dr. Facemar at the hospital, and so she told me about the program, and I'm so glad that I came. My mom is her patient, and she encouraged her to go as well. I've learned so much from it, and in the 2 to 3 weeks ago that we went to the first class, we've already incorporated some of those changes in our life.
Smoothie. This is the Eat Your Greens fruit smoothie from Dr. Furman. And if you're new to eating a lot of greens, which as you learned from Dana's presentation, greens are a very healthy way to boost your cancer-fighting power. You know, these people, we have people in Hartford County that really want to help this county to be healthy. And I'm just so happy to have these ladies here. So Barry, why don't you tell us about this?
I'm here representing Healthy Hartford, and what Healthy Hartford is it's a cooperative group of all sorts of entities in the county that are working to try to make Hartford County a healthier community.
So when I went to my cardiologist, they had to double my medicine one more time, and I just want to do something to try to get off the medicine. So I talked to Annabelle. Annabelle recommended Dr. Furman's book. After a few days, I went on his program, and it's been 6 weeks now. I've lost 20 pounds, and my blood pressure's down. I'm on two medicines now instead of three, and I just feel real confident this is going to do it for me, for my blood pressure.
For me, I have osteoarthritis in my knees. I'm 70 years old, and within 2 weeks, the pain in my knees that I had every day was gone. I've lost 22 pounds, but... And we're just starting our sixth week. But what I notice more is no pain from inflammation. I feel better. My taste buds are completely different. I can taste food much better. My sense of smell is better. And I have more energy, so.
And at the peak of our ministry, when we were ready to transition to bring in the gospel to them, tragedy struck. My mother was diagnosed with metastatic spleen sarcoma. She was the queen of kale. She was the one preaching to everyone around about kale and the benefits. And when that happened, I felt that someone slapped me on the face. And everything that I had and everything that I worked went down. I felt defeated. That woman that was on 5 blood pressure medicines and listening to her daughter decided to change her health around, dropped 40 pounds, and was the best testimony that I could have anywhere was dying. I took her to Wildwood, trying to find hope, trying to find a miracle. And I talked to Dr. Zeno. He does not remember, probably. But I talked to you, and I said, this was supposed to work. This plant-based nutrition was supposed to be the answer. And he reminded me that we are in a sinful world. And we cannot do what I did. wasting 1 year preaching about plant-based nutrition and not talking about the Lord. I wasted 1 year of that abundant living program. We used to have prayer, yes, at the beginning. But Tom and I, my pastor and I, we were shy. We were not bold. We wasted a year. And how many people did not hear the gospel? So after that tragedy, I said, Lord, what next? What next? And when I said, what next, my husband, an engineer, he mapped the U.S. and said, okay, we were not living in an Adventist ghetto. My kids were going to a Christian school, but they were struggling. You know, why do we have to go to church on Saturday? Why we cannot go to our friends on Sunday? Why we cannot go to the birthday party? Why? And why do we have to be different? And we thought that we needed to do something. And when my mom passed away, we had to do something. And he mapped Florida and California and Texas. And I was ready to sign a contract with Sonora when I got a phone call from Walla Walla. And the CEO says, you know, I have your CV in front of me, and you're interested in lifestyle, and I want you to come and visit us. I don't have a position open, but why don't you come and see? Long story short, I moved my family to Walla Walla. And I started my dream practice, the preventive cardiology practice. I was in Maryland for 14 years, fighting with 9 cardiologists who were making fun of me every day. I would go to the lounge, and, you know, I did an experiment, actually, with the pharmaceutical reps. I said, I want you to bring fruits, vegetables, Greek salads. Don't bring sodas. Don't bring donuts. You know, at the second week, the head of our office came to my room, just slammed the door and said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "What are you doing?" He said, "You know that ladies over there, we have like 30 employees. Those ladies there are miserable. They're underpaid. Let them be fat and let them be happy." So when I went to Walla Walla and started my preventive cardiology practice, I was in heaven. And so I said, Lord, how do you want me to do this? How can I do this? And so these are the principles that I have applied in my practice in the last 2 years. And I want to walk you through them. But the principle was preventive medicine, no mopping the floor. I got a volunteer making beautiful Bible verses cards that I keep in my white coat. And when the Lord prompts me, I get those cards out. And they have kitties and dogs and flowers and mountains. And I ask my patient to say, which one you want? And they look at me and said, oh, this is beautiful. So I get that card out, and behind there is a promise. And I read to them. I pray to them without praying, but I pray that promise. I read to them. And I learned a lot about this spirituality. I'm going to carry that. Those questions were really powerful. What's the source of your strength? That's a great question. So I knew that finding the root of the problem was the first thing I needed to do. I could not be given anticoagulation and beta blockers for AFib patients. I have to understand, why are they having atrial fibrillation? What imbalances are in their bodies that is causing this patient to have AFib? Why is this patient hypertensive? Are they snoring? Do they have a sleep apnea? It's interesting. My patients look at me like I have 2 eyes or 3 eyes when I said, what do you eat for breakfast? No one has ever asked them that question before. What do they eat for lunch? So we're treating the peak of this humongous iceberg. We're not addressing it. Until we don't address this, we're never going to make our patients well. Dr. Sino mentioned yesterday that these emotions, these toxic emotions, this past, this psychological abuse can cause tremendous damage in our bodies. If we don't address those issues, we can never make a patient whole. So assessing the root of the problem is important. And then you have to know if they are willing. I cannot preach this to all of every patient, because some are they're not ready. They want a quick in and out. They want their statin and they want out. So you need to pray every time a patient comes and says, "Lord, let me, give me the, tell me, how can I approach this patient? Is this patient ready?" And then my first visit with them is usually 60 minutes, the first visit. I mostly listen. When you listen to your patients, you are going to learn why are they struggling and how you can help them. And then I make a very short set of goals. When they leave my first visit, we said, okay, we're going to drink more water. Okay. We're going to walk 10 minutes after each meal. Short-term goals. Very practical, and not 100 pounds weight loss. No, very, very concrete and practical. But they need to leave your office with some goals. And then I give them homework. I said, okay, how do you learn? Do you like to watch? You learn by watching, or do you learn by reading? And so I have two sets of videos. I have the Eating You Alive video and the Forks Over Knives video. And if someone likes to read, I have plenty according to what they have. You know, I, from learning from other practices, they have a system like a library card, and they make a deposit of $10 or $20, and they can check out the books. My office manager didn't want to do that. She said, no, we're not going to do that. It's going to be too much of confusion. Yeah, just give them the books. So some of those books come back. Some of the books, they don't come back. But I'm praying and hoping that those books, they will be able to read them. But the magazines are wonderful. And especially the Vibrant Life, I found it really helpful. And the glow tracks are very small but very effective. So those are the things that had to be in your office. I have two rooms, and my partner has another two rooms. In his rooms, they have all these, I don't know, Time and National Geographic and all these house magazines. I have nothing of that in my room. All the things that my patients have to read is this thing. Because, you know, if they have Time magazine or they have something else, they will probably grab what they are familiar with. So they have this. When they wait for me, they have all these things to browse. And now the next thing is you have to create a support for change, okay? If you tell your patients to change and you give them some tips and there is nothing else, how long are they going to keep it up? So I talked to the cafeteria staff. I talked to the chef. He's not an Adventist. He's not a vegetarian. But I talked to him and I said, you know, Carlos, I said, you know, I'm telling my patients certain things, but when they come here, they don't really have an option. You have a salad bar that is very minimal. Can we make it better? Can you give us some vegan options? So he started implementing, and now we have two vegan options in our cafeteria. Now I'm the director of cardiac rehabilitation. So what I did with all those cardiac rehabilitation patients is I give them homework. And they have a little brochure from the Plantrition Project. It's called Quick Start Guide. And you have that in your handout. They have a series of resources that there are in there for you to look. And then we started the CHIP program. So, and I'll give you a case study. This is a patient of mine with a history of diabetes, obstructive sleep apnea, and back pain. He just graduated from our CHIP class, and these are his results. 30 pounds weight loss, 7 inches waist circumference, daily exercise, increased stamina, discontinued 2 anti-diabetic meds, decreased insulin, decreased statin. And so, I'm just going to let you listen what his testimony is.
Dr. Chung saw me after 2 grand mal seizures and talked to me about the CHIP program and asked me if I, he explained it to me and asked me if I would be interested in it. And I told him, yes, I would. And he suggested my name. I don't know if it was to Dr. Facemeyer or to Anna, but I got a call and went into it. And at the time of the program, I weighed 260 pounds and I had a 42, 44 inch waist. And halfway through, I had lost 20 pounds. And at the end of the class, I had lost 30 pounds and 7 1/4 inches around. And I felt better. I had lowered my statin. I had lowered my insulin. I was exercising. I exercised 2 hours a day on a bicycle, on a freestanding bicycle, and did 10,000 steps a day. And all I have done is feel better, stronger, happier. I went into the program wanting to beat diabetes. I've gotten 2/3 of the way there. And with the group, our monthly meetings and everything else that'll keep the morale going, I will get there. I'm positive I will. I'm that firm a believer in the program. I have found it's a very attractive diet. It's a very good diet. And
are you starving, Greg?
No, ma'am.
Are you measuring carbs? Are you measuring carbohydrates? Are you just trying to,
No. I'm eating quite a bit of food, but it's all food that's good for me, food that is helping me. I just believe in the program wholeheartedly. I gave it 110% because the day that Dr. Facemeyer and Anna told us, we're starting today, and we're going to eat the CHIP diet. And that's exactly what I did. I've had no caffeine. I've had no meat. I've had no dairy products. I've had no milk. And I will continue that way until I reach my goals and see what happens after that.
Why that kind of diet? Did you understand why you said no, 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 no? Did they tell you why no for those particular foods?
Yes, they did. They told us all of the reasons on why this food was not good for us, why meat is not good for us, and everything in the CHIP program classes inform you and answer all your questions that can come up with you. Most of the people, at least myself, I learned a lot from the book, let alone the films and the instructors, because you could come up with a question and either the book or the instructors had a viable answer to that that gave you the proper answer to it and would answer your question wholly to where you could go on and keep going. You felt like you knew the answer by the time you left that classroom. Dr. Facemeyer said it several times. This program is a lifestyle change. For me, it was completely a lifestyle change. And anybody that goes into this program has to want to do it. Because if they don't change their lifestyle, it's not going to do any good. Because lifestyle change sums up the whole program, I think. Because it was definitely a lifestyle change for me, and it was definitely one for the better. I could hug and kiss Dr. Facemeyer and Anna and Ross as many times to thank them because I feel so much better, so much healthier, and just, dear God willing, I'm going to keep doing better.
So, this time, I said, we need a team. We had 28 participants, it was 9 weeks. Medicare pays the CHIP program if you're diabetic. And it's, I'm not an expert in coding, but with a specific code of diabetic education and with a registered dietitian, I will show you the team, we've been able to help the patients to complete the program. We ask $150 from them, and we said if they complete 14 sessions from the 18, they will get 50 back. So those, the $100 help us to cover some of the food cost. And we ask a pastor this time. And because our sessions were twice a week, we had two different pastors, but each one of them brought a theme. And one of the morning sessions, we had the Beatitudes. And that pastor in the morning, every morning, will open up with devotion and challenge them spiritually. One of my participants said, you know, the diet was good and everything that I learned, but what really was the most important thing for me was finding God again. And that made it all worth it. So we had a registered dietitian, we had a nurse, a physician, exercise educators, we do exercise, and we had our prayer warriors, my volunteers. And you know what they do? I got two prayer warriors that will mingle with them and have make friendships, and they go and eat together and they invite them to the church. We had a series with John Bracho, and a few of my CHIP participants attended that. So, and then the last thing that I was the vision in the practice is connecting the churches with the health ministry. So when I asked my pastor about doing something for the community, he said, well, the churches in Walla Walla have never been able to work together. They have not been able to work together for anything, really. Everyone does their own thing. But with the Spirit of God blesses and people are open for God's Spirit to work, wonderful things happen. We got the first Walla Walla Health Expo in the pavilion, the Fair County. And we have more than 1,200 people coming through our doors. Each church got one of the health remedies. Eight churches have their booths of water therapy, of nutrition, of sunshine, of rest and exercise. It was beautiful. And the churches were there with their beautiful stands. We invited some of the businesses to support us. We had a chili contest, and God blessed. And, you know, Dr. Stoll, remember Dr. Stoll? I invited, he's not an Adventist yet, but he was there, and my prayer warriors were there praying with him. And when he stood up on Sabbath morning in our church to give a presentation, you know what? He started to cry, and he said, I sense the Spirit of God here. And he couldn't contain his tears. So this is powerful. When physicians work together with pastors. And a month ago, the shock came again. I was rushing to a meeting at 8 a.m. Monday morning, and we were announced that our hospital is closing, that our hospital is being transferred to the Catholic St. Mary's Providence entity. So, in this time, I asked the Lord, now what? What do you have for me? How can I be useful in your hands? And I have to believe that He still is calling me to medical evangelism. And I want to share with you the principles of health reform are found in the Word of God. The gospel of health is to be firmly linked with the ministry of the Word. It is the Lord's design that the restoring influence of health reform shall be a part of the last great efforts to proclaim the gospel message. We were bought by a great price. Christ died for us, and not just for us, but for each one of our patients. And the Lord has called me this morning when I was doing my worship. This is what God has called us to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us the privilege to be your hands in here. Thank you for giving us the privilege of health ministry. Lord, open our eyes to this call. We're very comfortable in our practices. We're not challenged by this great need of preaching the gospel to everyone. Lord, we're tired of this world. We want you to come back soon. Lord, use our hands so imperfect for your glory and help us to minister our patients with compassion, with tenderness, with true care, giving them the opportunity to meet Jesus through us. I pray in your holy name. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.